Good morning. Y'all can see I'm not trying to take Earl's job now. But it's good to see everybody this morning, and glad to have you in the Lord's house. And I guess the first thing I need to do is thank Jimmy Brooks for asking me to do this. I'm glad Jimmy had that much faith in me, and I'm going to get up here and do my best for Jimmy this morning. And, you know, I had a whole lot of people to give me advice this week. And I'll tell you about one. I had a pastor to tell me. He said, just look over what you're going to do every day. And then Friday night when you finish, he said, put it up and wait till Sunday morning. And, you know, I like to take people's advice. But I didn't take his. I put it down Friday night and I picked it back up Saturday morning. And he also told me, he said, you're going to be nervous. And he said, if you're not nervous when you're talking about the Lord, there's something wrong with you. And I told him, I said, well, you got that one correct. I said, somebody done told you something about me. So this morning, I'm going to start. And I'd like to start reading my scripture first. And I'm going to read from Proverbs 31, verse 10 through 31. And this morning, what I'm going to speak on is faithful women. And I don't know, Jessica helped me find this in the Bible. And I don't know how she helped me find it, but it is really... what a woman is really is, you know. And we've got some in this church that really feels these shoes, and I'm going to speak about a few in the Bible, and I'm going to speak about a few in our church. One of them has passed on, and two of them are still here, and they mean a whole lot to this church. But our scripture reading this morning says, wise women. Who can find a vigorous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also arises while it is yet night, and provides for her household, and a portion of her maidservants she considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants plants and vineyards. She grids herself with strength, and her strength's her arm. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She extends her hands to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothes is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rises up and calls her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you exceed them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own work praise her in the gates. First thing I want to do is, I've got a few ladies here this morning that are mighty close to me, and I'd like to introduce them first. I guess the first one had to be Betsy. All of y'all know Betsy. Next one would have to be Jessica. And I have my sis here this morning. I'd like for her to stand. Edwina Smith. I'd like for Mary to stand. It's my sister-in-law. Mighty, nobody's got a better one. And Jimmy Smiley was a mighty good to get. I don't have to say that, but I thank the world of both of them. You know, last year they asked me to speak for Men's Day, and my topic was on men, and they were from the Bible and influential Christian men that I had known in my personal life. So, you know, I thought it was only fitting to speak about women of the Bible today and who have touched, you know, people's lives in the Bible. And I'm going to speak also of people who have touched my life. And these three women that were here in this church, one of them and two is still here. They've been mighty good to me and my family. But before I start, I want to ask all the women to stand. Because all of y'all mean a whole lot to me and my family. But I'd like for you to stand. Let us give them a hand. Thank you. The first woman from the Bible I'd like to talk about is Ruth. Ruth was a devoted and unselfish servant to God. After her husband died, Ruth cared for his mother, Naomi. Naomi decided to return to her homeland, so Ruth told Naomi, "Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." So Ruth left her home and moved to Bethlehem to be with Naomi. Ruth's life was guided by faithfulness towards God and showed loyalty towards people she knew. To be loyal and loving in relationships, we must intimidate God's faithfulness in our relationship with others. God blessed Ruth for her loyalty to Naomi. Ruth demonstrates how God's grace prevails in the midst of difficult circumstances. Ruth's story occurred during a period of disobedience and violence. But even in times of crisis and deepest despair, there are those who follow God and through whom God works. Sharing openly about our relationship with God can bring depth and meaning to our relationship with others. And a reminder that even in moments of doubt, suffering, when what seems impossible, there's nothing impossible for God. And God keeps his promise. He might not keep it today, and he might not keep it tomorrow, but God will keep his promise. And that's one thing we can depend on. The second woman from the Bible I'll speak about is Esther. And Esther was the beautiful queen of Persia. She was Jewish, but kept her faith a secret from the king. When he made a law for all the Jews to be killed, Esther became afraid. She wanted to save her people, so she fasted and prayed for God's help. Then Esther prepared a banquet for the king. She was very brave and asked him to save her people from destruction. Because of her prayers and her courage, the king granted her request. He signed a new law to help the Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Esther's risk confirmed that God was the source of her security. How much of your security lies in your possessions, your position, or your reputation? And you know, possessions, position, and reputation. That's just, all of us has got that. Nobody can give it to us. If you've got a reputation, you got to keep it yourself. If you've got a position, you got to thank the Lord, I guess, for that. And your possessions, I know you have to thank the Lord for that, because I know just with me and Betsy, we wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for the Lord, because he has blessed us. And, you know, God has not placed you in your present position with your own benefits. He puts you there to serve him. And, you know, God will protect the weak. He will look over us. And that's what he done for Esther. He looked over Esther. And, you know, God can use any person here today to carry on his will. And, because I'm going to tell you, if he got me up here, I know he can get y'all to do what he's asking you to do. So, lastly, I would like to talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus. And all of us knows this story, but I think it's one of the best ones in the Bible. Young Mary of Nazareth had a unique privilege of being mother to a very son of God. Mary was blessed by God and would give birth to a son whom she would name Jesus. Yet the pain and pleasures of her motherhood can be understood by mothers everywhere. Mary was the only human present at Jesus' birth who also witnessed his death. And me and Betsy were sitting there, and I was reading this, and I told her I could never remember nobody saying that before, but it says Mary was the only human present at Jesus' birth who also witnessed his death. She saw him arrive as a baby. She watched him die as her Savior. Mary's response to God's message delivered by Gabriel was one God waited in vain to hear from so many other people. Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Later, her song of joy showed us how well she knew God, for her thoughts was filled with his word from the Old Testament. Within weeks of his birth, Jesus was taken to the temple to be dedicated to God. There, Simon directed some words to Mary that must have come to her mind many times in the years that followed. And this is from Luke 2, verse 35, and it says, a sword will perish through your own soul. A big part of her painful privilege of motherhood would be to see her son rejected and crucified by the people he came to save. Mary's life reflects how we should be willing to be available to God. And God's plan involves extraordinary events in ordinary people's lives. And we are the ordinary people. God uses unexpected means to encourage his people. God blesses people who seek righteousness. And one thing Christ done for us, Christ paid a debt that he did not owe. He paid it for us because we could not pay it for ourselves. Now I'm going to speak about some local ladies in the church, and I think everybody here knows them, and they all have some of the same traits that I admire myself, but each is her own individual self. Each is a good worker, friendly, unassuming, willing to give a shirt off of her back to help somebody in need. Each has dealt with sadness and grief, but has become stronger for having endured such through her faith in God. The first lady I'm going to talk about is no longer with us. But when my family came into this church, we met this lady. And I don't know why, we just hit it off. Wonderful lady. She was friendly, fun-loving, witty, easy to chat with, but somehow a little bit on the timid side when it came to getting up or speaking or praying out loud. However, I have learned from her sister that she was really much more devout, much more spiritual than she would ever admit to herself. I even was told that up until the time of her passing, she could name every book in the Bible, starting anywhere. And you know, I don't know, it's very few people can do that. But, you know, it's something that we need to practice on. This person, in case you not have guessed, was Gladys Trim Mullins. I was told that is she had to get up this morning and speak, she'd probably have a heart attack. But Gladys done most of her stuff she done most of it praying and caring and sharing in private. She made a lasting impression on me. I was her deacon in her last months. I visited her intensive care and at her home, and I was told that my visits meant just as much to Gladys as it did to me. And you know, Gladys will always have a place in my heart. I don't know why, me and Gladys just hit it off. You know, I could go in there and see, and she put a hand on my hand, and you could just feel God when she talked to you. And I really come to love Gladys. The second lady is one who is talented, sweet, very creative, and never questions the job she is asked to do or one that she sees need to be done. This lady has made a name for herself as well as for our church since she became a member of the leadership team in the Concord Baptist Association, WMU. And I'll tell you, before I tell you who it is, this morning when she come in, she hugged my neck back out and told me she was praying for me and loved me. And this lady is Mrs. Laura Royster King. And Laura's quite a lady in my book. My family and me love her. Laura reared five beautiful daughters and suffered the tragic loss of her only son when he was just a toddler. Because of her deep faith and strong beliefs, she weathered the storm and hardships of life and is a shining example for the rest of us. One of her church friends says that Laura is really good at sizing up people, a good judge of people, and can see through people better than almost anybody she's ever known. She recognized traits that some of us would take a long time seeing, but she is never mean in her observations or comments. She shares her goodies and labels of love with many. She gives rides every week to neighbors who cannot drive, and she is never too busy to stop to help someone who needs her. We are so proud to have a lady like Laura King in our church. And I'm thankful for just being my friend. Thank you, Laura. The third lady I'm going to talk about this morning, she can walk right into your heart and with an ever-ready smile can melt the coldest icicles or a heart in the world. It has been said that in spite of many heartbreaks she has been dealt, she is never without a smile. She, too, is such a good Christian worker in our church and in our neighborhood. She is forever pulling something out of the freezer to prepare for somebody in need. She has many positions in our church leadership with the Sunday School and WMU. And wherever she has worked, she has made the dearest of friends who never forget her. And This lady's not here this morning, but most times she sits in front of me back there. And I know the other Sunday after Jimmy asked me to do this, Jimmy asked her to pray in opening of Sunday school. And I could feel the Lord enter then and also in me. And, you know, after she finished the prayer, I told her, I said, you know, I really thank you for that. And I'm referring to Marjorie Wells King. We have all come to recognize what a lady she really is. And we know what a vital role she plays in our church. Now, all of these women I mentioned this morning were blessed with good Christian upbringing and with God-fearing parents to love and teach them. We thank God for each of them and also the other women in our church. And you know, last but not least, I guess I'll tell you about the woman I love the most. I'm like Bill right now. We'll probably have to take me a drink of water, but I kept an eye on him the other Sunday when he done this, and I'm going to take a little drink of water. But the most influential woman in my life had to be my mother, Annie Cassidy. My mother raised 5 girls and 3 boys, and we were all taught ethics, morals, and manners. You were going to be taught them if you stayed at that house. My mother was a good Christian lady who took all of us to church while we were living with her. My mother loved the Lord, was a good servant for him. She always cooked meals, cakes, pies for the sick, someone who had lost a loved one, or for the shut-ins. My mother loved all of her children the same, never showing more love for one of us. My mother never met a stranger. If she'd come in this church this morning, she could talk to any of y'all like she'd been knowing you all her life. She might would embarrass you sometime when you take out to eat or something, because she could get up a conversation with anybody who was sitting close to you. She was a mighty fine lady. And the night my mother died, me and Betsy and Jessica, we went up to the hospital to see our pastor. He was in the hospital, so all of us went up there to see our pastor. And when we left the hospital, we went out to eat afterwards. And my mother, every time we'd go out to eat, if we eat buffet, she was going to get her a little something and wrap it up in a napkin and put it in her pocketbook. Like I said, she'd embarrass you once in a while. But she'd put that in her napkin and wrap it up and put it in a purse. So the next morning I was at work and I got a call. It said, I need to go to Mother's house. So when I arrived, Mother had one of these things she put around her neck where she could push if she needed some help. And Mama was laying in the bed just like she was asleep. Never pushed the button or nothing. And just laying there like she was in her sleep. And you know, God let my mother die the way she wanted to. She did not want to suffer. We watched Daddy suffer so much, and Mama prayed a whole lot about that. And you know, the good Lord, like I said, he answers our prayers. It might take a while, but he'll answer them. My mother was not afraid to die because she knew she was going to heaven, a better place to be with her Lord and Savior. And you know, I want to thank the Lord this morning for giving me a mother like that. And I want to thank the Lord for giving me these people here in this church that I love a whole lot. And I hope that I have filled Earl's feet a little bit, and we look forward to him getting back. But, you know, just thank you for putting up with me this morning, and thank you all for loving me and the prayers. And we'll have a hymn of invitation, number 490, Lead Me to Calvary.